Welcome, as always, to Live from Vietnam, live from the 2-6, home of Apion Crockett, J. Cole, Michael Williams Jr., Dennis Smith Jr., Bone Crusher Smith, L.A., Dennis L.A. White. The list goes on and on and on. I'm joined, as always, by the one and only Paul Masson.
Cheers.
Mr. J. Yeah, Paul Masson, the Fayetteville 2-6 historian, Mr. J. And we got a special guest this week. My man, you can check him out. His latest single, Supremo, everywhere you get music, Latin Looney. What's up, Latin?
What it do?
So, as always, I want to start it out, you know, first of all, gentlemen, hey, it's good to see y'all this week. I'm glad to see y'all made it through the rough week in the city and didn't get sniped. Several people did not make it this week. So, shout out to y'all. Hey, what kind of week did you have, Paul, man? What kind of week did you have, sir?
Busy week. A lot of Circle Kings interviews, a lot of uploading Live from Vietnam shorts, Paul Pickett podcast shorts, Circle King shorts. Shorts, man. What can I say? I'm a short guy.
That's the most.
Hey, Mr. J, man. Yeah, no doubt. Mr. J, man, what about you this week, man? How you feeling?
I'm good, man. You know, still pushing the Underground Experience documentary, still putting things together, still got some blog hits coming up. Still pushing my, you know, my album that's been out for a while, you know, one heartbeat away. So just keeping things moving.
My man, the 2-6 historian, Mr. J, as always, here to keep us straight. Hey, and special salutations and Feliz Navidad to our special guest this week, Latin Looney, man. What's up, man? How was your week, brother? What you got popping?
Hey, man, not too much. A couple features I recorded this week. I did one with Oso and Legendary Snipe. You know, I always stay working on my music. You know, been talking to you. You know what I'm saying about getting on here, man. So you know, this is a dope opportunity, man. I appreciate y'all having me out here. You know, I always feel like I got something to say. So man, I'm just glad to be here, man. And we've been busy. Stay working. That's what we do.
Yeah, man. You definitely got a voice in the 2-6 for sure. Been in the scene for several years, making it pop. And big ups to you for all the work you've been doing. Also on the Circle of Kings with P at the Triple P Studios, getting it ready. We polishing that up. But I want to waste no more time, man. As P would always like to say, we don't want to waste too much time. We're going to get right into the topics. So the first topic we're going to get into is the best year of hip-hop album releases, man. The best year you believe that. And make sure that you share, comment, like below, and give us your opinions. I'd like to start out tonight with Mr. J, the historian of the show. Mr. J, man, what you think best year of hip-hop releases, man?
I started off with 94. 94 had Big. We had a few different ones come out. The Coup. There's a lot of big-time releases that came out that year. Even with some smaller names, like a lot of classic material from like Hieroglyphics, Casual, stuff like that.
I mean, yeah, no doubt, Mr. J, just to name a few. I mean, you had, but that was Illmatic came out that year. Not to mention J. Rule, the Damager came out that year. I mean, lots of great. Scarface, the Diary, 94. So I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, so you starting out with 94. What are your top 3 years, or do you have a top 3 years?
It could be 94, 88, and 96. Of course, you know, that was the year, you know, we had the passing of, you know, Big and Pop between 96 and 97. So, you know, all those big things came out. You had I think Doggy Style, but another Snoop album dropped somewhere in there, and you had other people basically had to push their albums back because of everything that was going on.
Well, no doubt, man. Let's kick it over to our special guest, Latin Looney, man. What do you think, man? The dopest year for releases of albums for you, man?
See, with me, man, I'm gonna say it's a little bit difficult just because I guess
that's what we're here for. We're here to fuck. We're here to fuck with the difficult shit.
So to me, honestly, bro, I'm not really too sure if it was 2006 or 7 when Wayne dropped Carter 3. But to me, that was the year because it was not only him. I think Kanye dropped that year. Who else dropped that year? See, because I'm like I said, don't get me wrong, I love 90s hip hop. You know what I'm saying? All that, but
well, hey, man, not to cut you off, Looney, but yeah, this is about your opinion, man. We all hold different opinions. That's what we love about it. That's what hip hop is. Best thing about this shit is.
I want to say the 2005 to 2008 era was like when I feel like dropping the best hip hop albums of me.
No doubt. So, of course, I'm gonna bring it over here to the Prime Minister, the guru behind the boards, P. Paul Simon. What you think, man? What you got?
I gotta agree with Mr. J. 94. And I gotta go back to 94. I mean, you got Nas, like you said, you got Biggie. Outkast dropped that year. Organized Confusion. I mean, you had Common Resurrection. Of course, you said the Scarface. Gangstar, Hard to Earn. You said Pete Rock. Method Man. Redman and Method Man both dropped their solos that year. Forgot about OC Word Life. You got the Diggable Plan.
And Warren G. Regulate. Warren G. Regulate was that year, too.
Yeah, he's at the very top of the list. And they had a hit, a bona fide hit. UGK dropped that year. OC Word Life. You even got a Tupac Thug Life Volume 1. The Beat Nuts. Yeah. We got the Beat Nuts that year. Keith Murray dropped his solo that year. I mean, you got M.O.P., Artifact, M.C.A. I mean...
It's hard to argue against 94. It's hard to argue against 94.
The Fugees dropped their...
It just sucks for me because I was 3 years old in 94, man.
I know. Hang on. Absolutely. We're going to talk about some years when I was young, too. But, Pete, go ahead. Please continue, man, with that.
I mean, 94.
Okay, so you got 94.
You got West Coast albums. You got West Coast albums like Spice One, Murder Was the Case. You got Craig Mack.
Oh, shit.
I mean... Craig Mack, Funk the World, LL Scratch dropped that year. Bone Thugs and Harmony. Bone Thugs and Harmony. I mean,
yeah, 94 was crazy.
Master P, you know.
How did we afford all those albums? We definitely bootlegged most of those albums.
And for those Lords of the Underground, Keepers of the Funk, and you got Slick Behind Bars, and to finish it off for all you 3-6 Mafia fans, you got a 3-6 Mafia album. I mean, you had Down South albums, West Coast albums, Up North albums.
Up Top albums. Yeah, 94
Midwest,
is hard to
Midwest
argue against.
Midwest with Bone Thugs. And 8-Ball and MJG.
And Bone Thugs went like 3 times platinum that year or some shit.
There was a lot of competition that year.
Okay, so 94. Okay, P. So 94. What about you? I know you got more than 94. So what's your top three?
94 to 96, probably.
I mean... Well, so, you know, of course.
9-5 and 9-6.
So I'm going to bring in the rear right here and say it's hard to argue against the golden era of hip hop, which was, you know, the 90s. You know what I'm saying? But for me, you know, I got a top three. It's 94, 93, and 88, right? I mean, you've said 94, all the great albums that came out. It's hard to say anything against that. 93, you had Enter the Woo, you had Midnight Marauders, you had Doggy Style, you had Cypress Hills, Black Sunday, you had Black Moon, Enter the Stage, Eazy-E's 187 Killer, you had De La Soul's Balloon, Mind State. I mean, think about this, guys, the era that we live in right now, where, oh, that's a dope single, and that's a dope single, and that's a dope short. These were entire classic albums that came out in the same calendar year, guys. This is what hip-hop was when it really was moving popular culture. Now it's just a thing. It's a TikTok. It's one of the many. You might have a country artist do it, too. And then, of course, 88, man. We sleeping. You know, I was just a kid, too. Like you say, Looney, while I might have been 11, I was a kid, too. But it's hard to overlook 88 when you got P.E., you know, It Take a Nation of Millions. You got Slick Rick's Great Adventure, BDP, by any means, that's their EPMD Strictly Business. Big Daddy Kane, Lord of the Kane, NWA, Straight Outta Compton, Eric B and Rakim Power, Leader, Ice-T, Power, UMC with Critical Break, Beatdown, and then DJ Jazzy Jeff. So, I mean, 88, it was a crazy year because we needed that year then, too. We were a fringe genre at that point as far as mainstream music was concerned. So, anybody got any closing arguments before we move to the next topic? I'm going to go to Latin Looney first. You got any closing argument on here?
Nah, man, nah. Like I said, you know, I can't argue with any of y'all because a lot of my favorite songs are from the 90s, are from the 80s, you know what I'm saying? Like, Eazy's big in my playlist. Just I'm from Cali, so, you know, Eazy's definitely a must. So, like, nah, man, I respectable decisions.
No doubt. Mr. J.
Yeah, man. Like I said, 88 is definitely a powerful year because you had Jungle Brothers, you had all these different groups. I think you might say within the 2010s because you have J. Cole, you have some other people coming out as far as like that, but you know, it's kind of on the edge, I guess.
Honorable mention before I go to Paul here, honorable mention to 98 because 98, you had Jurassic 5, you had DMX with both the number one albums in the same year, It's Dark and Hell's Hot and Flesh of My Flesh. You had Lauryn Hill drop Miseducation. 98, if you're going to go, like, that was a really strong year. You had Tribe with Love Movement. I mean, that was a crazy year. So 98, sorry, man. And to you, Paul, real quick before we move on to the next topic, man.
I mean, I don't really got no arguments and no pushbacks on anything, man.
I mean, 94 was...
Quick step in for it's 2005. Because 2005, you had Late Registration, the documentary. Like you said, the Carter. You had B from Common. You had the Minstrel Show. And you had Thug Motivation. And then you had the Becoming from BD Siegel. And Trill from Bun B. So that's some big
and
ones.
And see, what's crazy to me is that the year after that, UGK dropped, Common dropped, who else dropped? Man, it's just crazy to me to hear y'all say people from 94 were still dropping, and I was listening to them in 2005, 2006. You know what I'm saying?
People from 94 are still dropping right now. The Arguer and Nas dropped some of the most relevant albums of last year. So, all right, so... Moving on to the next topic, guys. KRS-One, as well as Special Ed, has came out, and they're criticized in the Grammys for invites they received to perform at the 50th anniversary of the Grammys. Now, a lot of us have some background on that. I really want to start this out with Paul, man. I'm really interested to hear what Mr. Masson got to say. What do you got? What's your take on that, Pete?
First thing, you got the topics out of order, but I'm going to go ahead and go with it.
Well, no, I did this on purpose. You'll see why I moved this one for real. I wanted to put the other one next on purpose.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
I didn't know you was going to do that because we do the pop-ups of the question.
I'm sorry. It was screwball from
the
face.
Let me start with the special ed part. Special ed was complaining about artists. They were trying to pay artists like half price for the Grammys. And that's crazy. Like, if you're performing at a Grammy, you should be getting paid more. You know, first of all, I guess Special Ed's gripe. He was a 15-year-old with an album and a hit record. Not too many of those. But how many, like, there isn't room for everybody in hip-hop to be on one two-hour show. I know that much. And
not 50 years worth.
Yeah, not 50 years worth. As far as KRS-One goes, it pretty much what he says goes in hip hop, as far as I'm concerned. Like, it's hard to argue with KRS-One. If he says fuck the Grammys, then it's fuck the Grammys, man. It's fuck the Grammys. You know, that's pretty much what it is. I can't argue with him.
All right, well,
you know,
no doubt. Well, Paul Masson, here's the lead of the story. Paul Masson says, if Chris says fuck the Grammys, I say fuck the Grammys too. We're gonna go over to Mr. Jay, the 2-6 historian. How do you feel about it, Jay?
Well, you know, I'm definitely seeing KRS-One side because he looks at the whole thing, you know, through a corporate lens. Like, they didn't honor us then. They still have certain criteria about, you know, honoring certain people now. So why am I going to go out of my way to attempt to go on this stage and basically legitimize something I've been against from Jump Street? My only, I guess, nuance argument about this is, if you are a artist that has released any type of music during a certain period of time, you can become a member of the Grammys and kind of change the trajectory of what's going on. So, I mean, while he's fighting from outside, there can be other people who fight from inside, get their Grammy membership and become a voting member and kind of change what's going on.
There's plenty of ways to fight. I will say, I did like that Chris said, if you see me at the Grammys, you better watch out because the whole roof about to fall off in this bitch. So if I see him there, I'm a run. Like Sad said, if three motherfuckers start running at the Grammys, how about 20 of us gonna be running? Like, hey, so Latin Looney, man, what do you think about this?
Man, Mr. J pretty much said it, man. Like, it's to me, it's kind of hard to dictate from the outside because you don't really know what's going on the inside. If that makes any sense, you don't, like, I understand where KRS-One is, he's like, hey, yo, like, this shit don't, it just, stuff ain't adding up. If you look from my point of view, stuff don't add up. And, you know, a lot of numbers don't make sense the way that they're making them come out to be. And then, like he said, like, I'm not about to switch my persona of who I am just to please them to try to be, or try to get in good graces with whoever the fuck is out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, fuck that. Like, that's not the point or reason why I started doing what I started doing. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like, hey, man, pay these niggas, bro. That's all I know.
Well, first of all, I mean, I want to say that KRS-One has never done anything for some preconceived notion of doing hip-hop. KRS-One is hip-hop. Let's be real with this right here. He was there at the very beginning. He shared 1.5 pair of pants with his brother, so fuck y'all. this mother, he deserves the right to say and have whatever attitude he wants to have when it regards to hip-hop. I'll say this, the Grammys shunned hip-hop for many years. Artists had to boycott hip-hop because they were not even televising the hip-hop portion of the Grammys for some 15 or 20 years. They were giving the Grammys to Snow and DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. They weren't honored. At no point in the Grammys history have they honored hip-hop. At no point. So why should we honor them? And so I 100% stand with KRS-One. We have our own shows. We have our own awards. The Grammys are not one of them. So from Big Face, a big fuck you to the Grammys and the Oscars too, while we're at it. So yeah, that's my thoughts. So we're on the same page. Here's the nipples, because without them, tits would be pointless.
And can I throw this in there? We know good and well, next year, the Grammy, next 5 years, 10 years, the Grammys ain't gonna be doing nothing to honor hip hop.
No, they won't. Jimmy Kimmel will be hosting, and they'll be giving G-Eazy the Grammy for Best Hip Hop Album. So no, fuck the Grammys.
You have to go that low, bro.
Ain't no low, man. I mean, we watched them pass by fantastic album after fantastic album. There's nothing to see here. But I want to say this. So we're going on to the next topic. As Paul famously alluded to before the break, I wanted to move this down a little bit because of how our topics are tonight. But so the number three topic tonight is, who do you believe is the most famous rapper in the world? And if you gentlemen don't mind, I'm going to start this one off and let y'all relax a little bit. When we talk about famous rapper, to me, It ain't got to be the dopest rapper or the most relevant rapper. It's the most famous rapper. And for my own anecdote, you know, when I was a young kid, 17, 18 years old, I joined the Navy. And in those 2 years, I saw 47 countries. And I was in West Africa in 96, 97. And the rapper that they knew on the entire West African coast, seven different countries, was Snoop Dogg. And I will argue that Snoop Dogg, with Martha Stewart adding to his white fame and all the soul playing, and Snoop Dogg may be the most famous rapper in the world. It may be hard to find someone in the world who does not know who Snoop Dogg is. They may not know who Biggie is. They may not know who Jay-Z is, but they know who Snoop Dogg is. So Snoop, I think probably Kanye West is world famous for his antics, not just music, but his billionaire philanthropy, his marriage to Kim Kardashian, his multiple missteps in the public arena. Kanye, probably one of the most famous humans on the planet next to Elon Musk, honestly. And he's a hip hop artist. So he's not just famous, he's a famous human. So, and then I'd say Nas, Tupac, Drake. That's my top five most famous artists. And I would love to hear what you guys elaborate. I'm going to give the courtesy on this one. I'm going to go first to Looney, our guest host this week. Latin Looney, man, who's the most famous artist in your mind? What's your list?
Right now, currently, when you say artist to me, like, I'm pretty sure that every single one of y'all know who Bad Bunny is.
Yeah.
So I, right now I have to put Bad Bunny, like, I would have said Snoop, because I was there agreeing with you, but like last night I was thinking about that earlier, and I was like, nah, bro. It's like everybody knows who Bad Bunny is right now. Like right now, to me, Bad Bunny is probably the one rap artist, and he's not.
Well,
even
I will say this. I don't want to cut you off. I will say this. Bad Bunny has the best social media following of probably all of them. The dude is like famous as a soccer player. Because he's famous worldwide, and Spanish is probably the most spoken language on the planet. So back to you. I'm sorry. Back to you, Luda.
No, you're good. You're good. But yeah, but I would say Bad Bunny. Then I would say Snoop for sure. And then my third man, I would have to go with Drake. Just because of how well-known Drake is in the Latin community as well. And that's... that's a huge following, man. That is a huge following. But that, those would be my top three. I would say Bad Bunny, Snoop, and Drake.
No doubt. Mr. Masson, what say you, my white brethren in rap?
Paul Masson.
God damn, this motherfucker is wild, man. Somebody go get this motherfucker, man. Somebody go get this. See what I fuck with? This is what I fuck with.
All right, so I got to go with Snoop. Snoop number one. Because this is the thing.
He's famous as fuck, bro.
In order to be the most famous person, they got to recognize you too. Like, there's people that are like famous, but they could be right next to me and I wouldn't recognize them. You know, and Snoop, everybody's going to recognize
Snoop. He can't go nowhere.
I think Kanye West has got to be top three. And Drake. I think Snoop, Kanye, and Drake got to be like, there's nowhere that they can not go and nobody knows them.
I can dig that take, Paul. I'm going to say this before I go to Mr. J. I give everyone if you're from America, then I give everyone the Michael test. There are three people that everyone in the world know, and it's Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson, and Mike Tyson. Okay,
yep.
Those three people. I've been all over the world. I've been to Asia, Europe, and Africa, all over the world. And let me tell you something, all three of those gentlemen are well known. So when you say those things, okay, then I'm saying, yeah, that's the type of fame we talk about here, and some of it ain't hip hop. So Mr. J, I'm very interested to hear what you got to say about this.
I find it funny nobody ever mentioned Will Smith, the Fresh Prince.
Yo. Man, Steve, this is why Mr. J is here. This is why
movies. Billion-dollar movies.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
The question is, and this is this, Mr. J, the question is, and I like Mr. J's thinking here, because if you go anywhere in the world and say, do you know, they're going to know Will Smith. Mr.
Yeah,
J,
yeah, yeah,
back to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just dropped what, some little answer record not too long ago about the whole, you know, entanglement situation and the book drop from his wife and everything else. You know what I mean? Still showed he had some skills. Of course, you know, he did the hip hop 50, you know, showcase. And, you know, he's just all the movies, Wild Wild West, Independence Day, all the MIBs. I mean,
you can't argue with his worldwide fame, and he is a hip hop artist originally. So, I don't. He's definitely deserving of being on the list, Mr. J. So, who else you got up there with this?
I definitely have to go with Snoop. Snoop is another one. Tupac, definitely, because there are murals all around the world, even in Africa, of Tupac.
They still think he's alive. He's the Black Elvis of music. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's in Cuba. He's in Cuba. That's where I go, or where I'm going. If everything falls out, I'm going to Cuba.
I'll be in Costa Rica. Me and Paul will be having a bootleg pirate radio station in Costa Rica.
Let me throw another name out there since we're talking about movies. What about Ice Cube?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, he's outside the realm of top five. He's definitely right there. And what a magnificent job he's done of transforming his image since one of the most dangerous black men in America. And I'm going to tell you, they thought he was, to being Are We There Yet Part 17, my man Q.
I just dropped the album with, you know, E-40 and Too Short and Snoop.
And Santa Claus and Grinch and President Trump and Biden. I mean, and he owns a basketball league. And a big suede Puma enthusiast, me and him. So I love him for that. Before I move on, I want to roundabout, Looney, you got anything to add on this topic of the most famous rapper before we move wrap this topic?
Nah, man. Y'all killing it, man. I really wasn't even thinking about Will Smith. That's why I was like, you know what?
That's why he's Mr. J, bro. I hate to say that, but that's why he's here. Paul, you got anything to add before we move on?
Nah, man, it's a lot of fame. It's some famous motherfuckers right there, yo.
And of course, Mr. J.
Yeah, man, it's a lot of powerful stuff going on. That shows you how powerful hip hop is.
All right, as we move on to topic number four, gentlemen, raise your glass once more and live from Vietnam. Here is to the city, the mighty, mighty 2-6. May it never steal your wallet. So the fourth one right here, you fucked that shot up, didn't you, Mr. J? So we talk about Joe Budden and his, of course, beef with everyone in the world. But right here, the beef with J. Cole, where he has an issue that J. Cole softens up street rappers. So we're going to go to Mr. J first right here. Joe Budden v. J. Cole. What you think, big guy?
I think that, you know, he's outside of his mind, first and foremost. I think you stretch rappers and make them better MCs when you get on a track with a J. Cole. Like a Lil Durk, I'm not really checking for outside of this little feature, but it seems like when he got on him, got with that feature, he kind of stretched him a little bit. And every feature he does, he seems like he stretches the MCs he's with. He makes them have to step up their game and become fuller artists. They can't just sit back and phone in the same stuff they've been doing. So, I mean, a lot of what, the only track I think I've heard him on where he kind of came back towards the artist is that one Gucci Mane track that he did. That's the only one where I see him kind of come back towards Gucci Mane a little bit, and Gucci Mane didn't stretch as much. So, I mean, he's one of
Gucci Mane would have fucked around and pulled. Gucci Mane would have fucked around and pulled the hamstring, no disrespect.
that they would have found out it really wasn't a clone. But like just four of the features that he's done that I really like, just all time. Rhapsody, it's a track called Sojourner. It's on the album.
Oh man, go ahead. That's why I love you, bro.
And Benny the Butcher, Johnny P's Caddy. That's on Tana Talk 4. That's one of my favorites. There's a joint called Pray. That's on Game's album Jesus Peace. That's another one of my favorites. So I mean, everyone he's been on, especially, you know, the two of those are really serious hardcore rappers, like, you know, Benny Butcher and Game. He made them have to stretch. Like, not that Game ain't nice. Not that Benny the Butcher is definitely, you know, not nice. Benny the Butcher is nice. That whole Griselda movement is nice. They got bars. It's not a game.
But not a game.
He just makes the feature better. I don't know what he's talking about.
I feel like Mr. J was like sitting on this like a 3-4 fast, like a 3-0 fastball, dog. He was waiting on this shit. Go ahead, continue, Mr. J. Shit.
I don't know. Mr. J. I think it's crazy. There's so many different features that he was on with Boz and Kaz and just numbers of other MCs. You know, those are two out of his, you know, collective out of his clique. But I don't see what he means. Keep them. He said specifically, like, keep him away from the hardcore rappers. Some of the stuff.
Well, okay, yeah. No, so Latin Loonies, man. I mean, what do you feel? Like, Joe Budden comes out on his podcast and says that, please stay away from the street rappers, J. Cole. You make them soft as baby shit. What do you say?
I really think, bro, this is like the third or fourth time this year I done heard Budden come out with some like real hateful, like, I hate this dude right here kind of energy. You know what I'm saying? Like, and for no reason, you know, like, first it was Drake. Then it was this other kid. He's a new rapper to him. He a Christian rapper. I can't think of his name. But Budden was sitting there talking mad cash junk about him too. You know what I'm saying? But see, the funny thing to me is, like, I don't see what's wrong with getting a rapper and have him try to be a little bit more lyrical in his the way he spits on. Because put it this way, if I got J. Cole to kick me up and be like, okay, I need you to do a feature, I'm about to start shitting bricks because I can't come into a song with J. Cole and rap like I would come into a song and rap with Gucci. Or rap with Fugiano, or rap with it, because the substance of what J. Cole speaks is way heavier than 95% of any other rapper out here.
So I don't want to interrupt you. I'm gonna come back to you. I do want to say this. That's a hip hop axiom. You are who you fuck with. The energy and your creativity, you're gonna play up or down to the competition. So I'm sorry, back to you. Gonna keep that same train of thought.
No, yeah. So it's like you Budden is the kind of person to me that'll be like, okay, yeah, cool, all right. We all have our times when we want to listen to certain things, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it doesn't mean that has to be the only thing you have to listen to. Sometimes I would like to hear something that would inspire me in a different way than to go try to kill somebody or shoot somebody or go snort some cocaine or fucking, you know what I'm saying, just think about bitches or some shit. No, sometimes I want some intellectuals substance to come into my mind, you know what I'm saying? And we need rappers like Cole. We need rappers like every time I get his name in my head, but the other guy that Budden was talking shit about, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's different to hear somebody tell you the truth in a sincere way than to tell you the truth in a hateful way.
So before I go to Paul, I do want to say this. I agree with that. Once again, the only genre that pigeonholes itself in this way, rock and roll, can make you do anything. It can make you smash something. It can make you love somebody. Same with every other genre. We the only genre that keeps ourselves in a pigeonhole. Mr. Masson, I'm really interested in your take on this Budden situation, bro. What do you think, bro?
I'm gonna throw on my marketing hat.
Here we go.
Why is J. Cole, why is Kendrick, why is Drake been top three for over a decade? Well, they're not shoot 'em up, bang bang. They're not I sell dope, drink lean, pop pills, all that average shit. So if you're an artist, like, we did promotion for Chief Keef for like 30 days. Like, artists like that, they got a limited fan base because everybody don't want to shoot them up, bang, bang. So if you're a shoot them up, bang, bang kind of artist, and Lil Durk is kind of in that realm, and a lot of these cats, the Chicago rappers and whatnot, you go to a cat like J. Cole to tap
into. They have no choice. They have to go to elementary school.
Yeah. You got to tap into that fan base. You know, like, the more shoot 'em up, bang, bang you are, the less white fan base you have in hip-hop. That's the thing. J. Cole has got all the white fan base in the world. All Kendrick, Drake, and you got to tap into that by doing songs with him and getting the kids in the video and doing whatever, you know what I'm saying? And if it makes you more conscious as a rapper or softer, as Joe Budden says, well, we might need a little bit more of that. We might need a little
bit more. I appreciate that.
We need a little bit more conscious rap nowadays because it's very limited. It's like, how much? None.
Well, I love how it became conscious rap in the late 90s. But before the late 90s, it was just rap. Every rap had a message. That's what rap was. We're going to move on from that, though. So it became rap. It was hip hop. It's now rap. But so my take on the situation really quickly is Joe Budden has made a career of keeping people down, putting people down, having a negative take on shit. This is for you, Joe. This is for pump me up. We're going to have a segment next week on One Hit Wonders. I'm sure we'll talk about you again, bro.
Before we get to the next topic, let's run a quick little commercial break.
Well, no, I want to talk about this. I haven't talked about this.
Okay, let's get to the next topic then.
Okay, I got you on your commercial break, but Big Face has a take too, Mr. P. I've given you all your takes. Can I have a take?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
Yeah, don't make me get my goddamn nut suit cow out of this bitch. All right, so my take on this shit as Joe Budden is a hater from way back. So let's get real intimate with this subject. Street. Let's talk about street. You may not consider J. Cole a street artist because he graduated from the St. John's University. But let me tell you something. He barely fucking made it in there by the skin of his teeth out of here. And he's from a street city. And he understands the street. You can see and hear it in every song he's ever done. He understands the street. His ear is in the street. He rides a bicycle with no security and plays basketball. You have to understand the artist. Now he's at a point in his career where I want to reach out to motherfuckers that I understand and I'm a fuck with him. Like he said on the last track, NBA Youngboy, I still want to do one with him. Because he is purposely doing this shit. He said, I'm the IT man. When you need to connect, I jazz you up. So my take on it is Joe Budden, he's a bitch ass motherfucker. And you have been since that lame ass track. And you go both ways in life and everywhere else from what I understand. So
and he fucked up the slaughterhouse shit. And he fucked up the slaughterhouse
And you fucked up the slaughterhouse shit. I guarantee you fucked up the slaughterhouse shit.
Well, he admitted it. He admitted it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He admitted it.
Dude, don't have him. All right, so we're gonna need a topic number five, guys. And this is interesting right here, because I wasn't aware of it until Paul put me on to that shit this week. So Daz Dillinger has come out and basically said that you know, he has not got his due off the product. And that once the rights reverse back to him in 2027, he's not letting any more music go out until he's paid. So I want to start this with Paul because he's in this media marketing business every day with Promo Palace. Shout out to Promo Palace. Shout out to Dizzle. Shout out to everything Paul got going. Paul, what you think, man?
I got to ask myself, in this day and age, what royalties are you really expecting to get? I mean, Dre got 22 million monthly listeners.
I mean, Chronic, he's on 30% of the album. He's on 3 songs and 4 skits. So, I mean, he's on 30% of one of the most iconic albums of all time.
Dr. Dre has a really nice catalog, and a lot of it's probably getting streamed.
Jeweled by the Chronic. Jeweled by the Chronic. It probably gets, like, still gets 10 to 8, 12 million spins a quarter. He's probably still getting 50 to 100 million spins a year off that album. It has been.
Okay, well, let's figure that out. Well,
it's one of the highest earning albums of all time. I want you to know that it is.
You said, what was those numbers again? Say those numbers again.
The placement. That's not even the placement. That's not the placement.
You said like 10 million. You said like 10 million quarterly.
No, I said 50 to 100 million spins a year for the past whatever since it started. And the placements, he still has amazing amounts of placements for that record. Overall, I did some research, man. He's still generating like a cottage industry off that record. So it's making several million dollars a year, just that record.
Well,
just that record.
But if you go off of streaming royalties, it's really only like 50.
No, I mean, I'm just saying across the board, the licensing on the Chronic is still generating multi-million dollars a year now, 30 years later. So
it probably is.
I mean, no, it is. I did the research. It is.
But does he own all his masters
too? Got merch with that coming out.
not just that. It's the merch.
It controls the royalties, though. That's another thing.
Dr. Dre owns those masters. He won them in litigation against Death Row. Now I'm gonna get into this later, Paul. But go ahead. Continue your take. I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to interrupt
you. I will say this. Assuming that somebody ain't going to pay you before they get a chance to pay you, it's probably going to fuck them up from paying you. So, you know, that probably wasn't a good move. You know.
Yo, like, Paul is from the hood, dog. Paul just told you some hood shit. He just moved all the peanuts on your head. He was like, hey. Paul was like, we'll pay you when we pay you, but if you pay you, then I can't pay you. So. Yeah. That's how that works.
So, I mean, so, I don't know. It ain't gonna go well now. I know that much.
All right, well, we're going to go to Latin Looney, man. Latin Looney, what do you think, man? Daz Dillinger wants his money off your Chronic.
Man, I'm going to have to go with what Paul said, man. Is that money even still there? You know, like, is that money?
That's not a hot take. That's not a hot take. Because the money is out there. He might knock on your door, Looney, in your black light room, and Daz Dillinger may.
How much, though? You know. How much is really there?
That's the thing, though. That's what I'm saying. How much do you think could be really there?
Well, what if he ain't got nothing, or what if he got paid 30 grand, and now he says, in 2027, I can make y'all stop playing this on every streaming platform. I can make you stop licensing the entire album because I'm on so much of it. They're gonna have to pay him. So I mean,
of course.
I don't wanna get into it. I wanna talk about it. So Looney, okay, Looney mirrors Paul's take. Mr. J, the historian of the 2-6. What say you, my brethren?
I think the problem is we're talking about multiple different things. Because one, we're talking about rights as opposed to how they're distributed out. You're talking about streaming revenue, and then you're talking about also ghost writing or ghost producing, because there's some ghost production that he did on the Chronic that, of course, he didn't get paid for. But when you're coming into business, there's a number of producers that are big now or were big in the early 2000s, that was their foot in the door, was ghost producing. That's how they made their bread and butter. And then once they got a name for themselves and other people started getting placements for them, or they started getting placements for themselves, then
That's how Snoop got his whole gang in the door, the LBC crew. That's all of them boys. So all of them work in ghost capacity, right?
Yeah,
all of them are on that album. Snoop, Corrupt, Dad.
Not only that album, they're on a lot. I'm going to just say this. The LBC crew, which was. which was Daz Dillinger, you know, Snoop. That was, he was part of that group. That was him and Daz and Corrupt. That was the group.
Yep.
They're actually all over that West Coast sound, not just their albums or Dre's album, but a couple other people's as well. My take on it is this, guys. My take on this, RBX had the same issue. Hey, Paul, I appreciate you sending me. Paul sent me a dope-ass article on this week, which I read, and then I followed up some leads on that. So RBX already had the same beef a few years ago, right? RBX got paid, y'all. RBX got paid, and he shut up. So whatever RBX got paid, he's cool with it at this point. And like RBX said, they can be as famous as they want. We wrote the shit. You can take what you want. We wrote. They didn't write for me. I wrote for them. You feel me? So I think that him holding those cards and going out with this article in 2027, they're not going to want to deal with that. I don't care what. Anybody can have whatever take they want. Business-wise, I'm a successful businessman with money to earn. I'm not wanting to deal with this in court, or I'm not wanting to take my... I'm going to go ahead and meet with him next week, and we're going to work this out. He's going to get his $4.7 million, whatever that is he wants, because it's worth way more than what you guys are putting the value on it. We all... So we're so used to hip-hop working so hard and getting so little, we don't realize that once you make the echelon and making the money, the money's deep, bro. The money's deep. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add before we move on from Daz complaining and that Dr. Dre is P. Diddy of the West Coast?
Yeah, no, I do. It sounds like Daz ain't getting enough show money. Sounds like Daz ain't getting enough show money.
I think
that's
you
what
know.
It sounds like.
And Paul, that article may have gave him $2,000 a night.
And us talking about it, it'll throw on another 100, I guess. 21.
At least $75, $40 in a blowjob between the dumpster.
$2,000 for the article, $75 extra for us talking about it.
And a blowjob outside by the dumpster. Enough. Just don't smell real loud. So. All right, so the last, and, you know, of course, me, man, I love the city. The 2-6 is what I live for. My celebrities don't exist to me because all the celebrities is in my city. There's plenty of them here. We're going to talk about the most famous rappers from the 2-6. And I'd love to start us off with our resident historian, Mr. J. Mr. J.
Yeah, man. Of course, we're going to go with the obvious. J. Cole.
You have to.
We'll go down to Morey.
You have to.
I think Rain has some, definitely has some reach.
Has to be.
The URL. Bombshell through well, Rain has some reach through the deal that I guess, you know, didn't necessarily work out with MMG. But Bomb Shelter, of course, through J. Cole. And I think there's a couple maybe surprises that people probably wouldn't think about. Ronnie C has connections to J. Cole, and he has some, you know, albums of his own that kind of have some international reach.
And he has millions of streams, guys. Ronnie C has millions of streams.
Yeah.
On the internet.
Yeah. And then Shamrock. Of course, is from Ground Zero. They had the Vietnam Anthem back in the day. They did some joints with us and the Empire. He's got a joint coming up. Hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, it's working out with one of the members of Bone Thugs and Harmony.
All right, well, Mr. J, as always, fucking fantastic goddamn take, J. I'm going to go to our guest host this week, Mr. Latin Looney, man. Who the most famous rappers from the Ville for you? So while we all talking, all of us, except for Latin Looney, we are artists from the past in the Ville. Latin Looney's still an artist currently in the Ville with some dope, a lot of dope content all over the internet. Dope music. He blends the reggae tone with the rap. The first rapper to do that from the 2-6, too, by the way, while we talking shit here. And he's done lots of shows. I've been to lots of his shows. So he does have credibility when it comes to this. Lat Mooney, who the most famous rappers from the Ville for you, man?
So J. Cole, Moray, for sure. Three, I'm gonna have to go with YOLO Roo.
I gotta agree. I have to agree.
I am a fan of YOLO.
He's three on my list too, just so you know. But go right ahead. But he's three on my list too. Go right ahead.
He up there. Four, I'm gonna have to say from that I know from the 2-6, I'm gonna have to go with Block Boy. Block Boy.
When you say Block Boy, are you Block Boy or Block Baby Moolah?
Block Baby Moolah, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Otherwise known, aka Shine Mac, Block Baby Moolah, definitely has millions of streams as well. Millions of streams.
And then five is kind of difficult. You know what? I would put what's his name? Juice God.
Mutate God?
Not familiar. Mutate God?
No, Juice
God. I don't know who Juice God is. We don't know who Juice God is, so enlighten
us. Gary Stocks.
So what do you got?
He signed in the Master P.
Okay. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. See, I mean, hey. Mm-hmm. See, and that's exactly why.
Y'all gotta check him out.
Well, first of all, I'm gonna say this, Looney, man. I like your take. There's a dope take. It's a take we wouldn't have got. And I appreciate that shit. I want to go to, of course, my man Ebenezer's happy Christmas, Ebenezer Scrooge. my man, the MC Curmudgeon, Paul Masson.
The motherfucking one and only Paul Masson.
All right, number one,
I got, of course, the obvious. We got J. Cole. You got Moray.
J. Cole. Yeah.
I got to go with Rain as my number three for what he's accomplished. The, Smack DVD, the mixtape shit through the years, the freestyling on the BET Awards a couple times. And then I got to throw a couple other, two more surprising names. Because they did a lot of mixtape shit and they known worldwide. And that's Big Cass and Low Keys.
Oh, shout out to Big Cass now. Big Cass and Low Keys, yeah.
And not only that, Low Keys is known worldwide because he's now the NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
Wow.
His name is Psycho Boy Fodder. He's one half of Psycho Love. He is the NWA World Heavyweight Champion and one of the hottest independent wrestlers in the world. He will be on AEW. He will be in WWF one day. That's Low Keys, dog. That's Low Keys, my guy. Shout out, my guy. One of the great, and he's also a white rapper from the Ville. Thank you, man. Thank you, bro. Anyway, back to you, Paul. So
that's my top five, and I guess you could throw like Bomb Shelters in there as a group.
You have to. R.I.P. Filthy Rich.
But they're not really known as individual rappers, I don't think, like worldwide. They're known more as a group.
Well, when you say famous, favorite rappers, I would assume we're talking A from the International all down to famous citywide. Is that your take, Paul? You good with that?
Yeah, I got Cole, Moray, Rain, Big Cass, and Low Keys.
Oh, no, dope. My man, Big Cass. Dope take. Dope take. So with me, I got like a top eight. And honorable mention, shout out before I get started to Big Cass and Low Keys. Because, of course, you know, for me, unlike a lot of motherfuckers from the Ville, Big Face is known that I listen to this shit. Like, I listen to hundreds and hundreds of artists from the Ville for years. I listen to local music. These motherfuckers is the celebrities to me. Number one, of course, J. Cole. Let's get that out the way. I've known him since he was a therapist. I was there the first night he went on radio, right? I famously called him the rapist on the Friday Night Shockwave.
Yeah, sorry. Tell everybody what you called him? The rapist?
The rapist. Shout out to Big Frost, man. Fuck you. Hey, Vic, tell him
we
man.
Love you, Cole. We love you, Cole.
The rapist is still a cooler name than therapist. Fuck Filthy Rich for naming him that, because that was some good shit. Okay, so J. Cole, we go back, and he knows who Big Face is, and but be sure. Shout out to you, Jermaine. You're a dope individual. But so two for me is Ray, not one of them. And let me get into why I think that over Moray. Ray, man, has ghost written more shit than we'll ever be able to talk about. I'm going to just tell you that. Yeah, he has produced some of the most fire music videos for the last decade. If you go on YouTube, go to Ray, if you don't, haven't watched them, go to Ray 191 and go all the way back and watch these videos. The dude is one of the dopest lyricists. And because he has more of an up north East Coast sound, he gets hated on. Dude deserves zero hate he gets in this city at all from anyone. Because he's gracious. I've run into him several times. And, you know, hip hop is a medium in favor we fuck with. Ray Namana, right? Slept on as a motherfucker. And that's not even talking about the battle shit, you know, and all the fame from that. So, Ray. Number three for me is Yolo Roo. More famous to me in the Ville than Moray. Yeah, Moray got the push. He got the marshmallow head management. Yolo Roo did that shit from the ground up. And if you go on YouTube right now, go ahead and click on your shit. You'll see he has 700,000 views with him and Duke. I mean, he's still crushed it. He's been on tour with Future. He puts in work like a motherfucker. And so Yolo Roo. Then here we go, man. So four, Nervous Wreck and Filthy Rich. Bomb Shelter, of course, fame and fable. Five, Rolling Weight. Six, nobody ever says this dude, but in the Ville, this dude really made a mark back in the day. Yada Man. He was everywhere. And I swear to God he was for a long period of time. Shout out to Yada Man. I don't know really what the fuck he's doing now. But and then seven for me, Fran D. And then eight, Blackwatch. Eight, Blackwatch. I mean, these are cats that are famous in the city. Shout out to Blackwatch, who's moved on to Tubi movies. Go check him out, man. He's dope, man. These are dope artists right here in the city, celebrities, whatnot. What are you? Those, to me, are the most famous artists from the Ville. Anybody have any rebuttals before we cap this thing off, brother?
But are all these cats famous worldwide? That's the thing.
Well, no. Well, if you're talking about worldwide,
you can't just be famous in the city. You got to be famous worldwide.
So then it's J. Cole, Moray, Yolo Roo, and Eric Lottery, who is from Fayetteville, lives in Charlotte, but RNG Golf now. He's on the PGA Tour. He's on ESPN. And so those are the most famous artists from the Ville.
And as you know, I'm a big Yolo Roo fan. I've always up Yolo Roo. You know that. I just not educated on how famous
like his music
he is
or not.
Worldwide.
He can't fuck with his
I'm just not educated on how famous he is worldwide. That's the only thing. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
but we still gotta include across the pond as well. You know what I'm saying?
Well, in my opinion,
well, I'll say this.
A feature from Duke and what's her name? What's the girl he just did a song with?
So okay. So but we're splitting hairs if we're talking about world famous artists from the Ville. There's only a handful of them. And Yolo Roo with a 750,000 view YouTube video. Somebody in Belgium has watched that. I'm saying he's probably more famous than the next guy on the list, is what I'm saying. If you're talking international fame from the city, guarantee you everyone in independent music here knows him. They may not know Big Face, they may not know Paul Masson, but we all know Yolo Roo. So
I tell you what, Paul Masson is easily top 10 worldwide in Fayetteville. I would argue that easily worldwide, because I got mad mixtape features, I got German rapper features. And let me correct something. I dropped a single this month called Guess Who's Back. So, you know, I'm an active rapper too. So, you know.
Just put another crease in your polo shirt. I got you. And I love you. You know, I ain't nothing but love for me, for Paul Masson.
Yeah.
The resident curmudgeon.
Definitely top 10.
You're most famous to me because I need you tomorrow. We got to do them two interviews. Remember that tomorrow. So, just to wrap it up, guys, first of all, Merry Christmas to everyone who's watching from all the live from Fayetteville crew. Happy holidays, happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah, whatever you may celebrate, we down with that shit. And a drink for y'all, for don't get stuck in the chimney and you know whatnot. Thank everyone. Thank Paul Masson. Thank you, Mr. J. Thank you, Matt Looney, for taking time out of your busy schedule. So make sure that you, I'm going to give a chance now for everybody on the panel. Y'all give y'all shout outs. We'll go to Mr. J first. Mr. J, man, shout him out, man. Let him know what you got going on. I know you got the independent movie with the history of the 2-6. You got always got something going on. And somebody at the crib. Is that pizza? I got pizza coming?
Chinese food. That's Chinese food coming.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Cream of some young guy. Watch out. So, to you, Mr. J.
You know, Underground Experience blog. Of course, since we're talking about Tubi movies, if you haven't seen Savage Genesis, I'm in it. Go check it out. It's on Tubi and Amazon Prime. One Heartbeat Away. That's my album. I released it last year. So features from MC Search, DMC, King Crooked, of course, wow. Fat Boy, and a few others from around the state. Go pick it up. Go stream it. And the Underground Experience movie, we still got, you know, film fundraiser going right now. Go to the website, www.empiremusic.com. Go check it out and see how you can be a part of it.
No doubt. As always, we'll be kicking the high gear on the fun for the crowd fundraising for that documentary. Yo, Paul Masson, man, I know that we got the Paul Pickett podcast. We got Promo Palace. We got Circle of Kings. Give us what you got going on. I don't even know how you got time.
I got a whole list, so let me go last. I got a whole list of people.
Okay, no doubt. Okay, so, all right, so we're going to go to Latin Looney then to me. So, Looney, what's up, bro? Closing comments?
Yeah, man, this was dope. I appreciate y'all having me, man. This was fire. You know, but I got to give a big old huge shout out to my team, man, that's Born Talented for sure, man. Y'all make sure y'all go check us out. Also talented.
Shout out to Oso, man. Very talented cat from the Ville. Shout out to Oso.
I know my boy Dominate's about to drop an album. Snipe just recorded a song. I just got a feature in with Oso and Snipe. So I'm about to drop here soon. If y'all haven't heard Supremo, y'all make sure y'all go check out Supremo. Supremo's out on all platforms. If y'all ain't seen Spin the Block, you know what I'm saying? It got me and my homie over here, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what side he on.
We in there too.
So y'all make sure y'all check us out on Tubi there too, man. You know, shout out to Barry Williams for that, man. That was a dope experience, man. Yeah, man. Huge shout out to my fans for sure, man. Everybody that be supporting, everybody that be there, you know, listening to streaming. But yeah, man. And I appreciate y'all for sure, most definitely.
All right, man. Well, you know, as always, Feliz Navidad to everybody, man. I hope you all get what you want for Christmas, man. I have huge shout outs for Circle of Kings. I want to give a shout out to all the fighters that helped make it possible. Of course, Paul Masson, man, my brother in this shit, for making this possible for me to be able to do this, man. It's been a huge year for me. Not only the Circle of Kings, but to be involved in Live from Vietnam is dope. Man, shout out to Barry Williams tonight. You'll see during the Live from Vietnam broadcast, we run in the exclusive trailer for the new Tubi movie. Remind me, Mr. J. Every time I forget this, the new Tubi movie. Barry, I'm in this. I'm a bitch. Is what
why
I'm saying.
Why are you?
Excuse me. Why am I what? Why am I what? So shout out to Barry. We run the exclusive trailer. You know, that's how it goes in this business. You can't remember the damn name of it. You're gonna see the name of it tonight. And shout out to everybody involved in Circle of Kings, man. It's huge. We get this increasing. Paul hits me every day. We're like, yo, we got 34,000 views the first 28 days of the channel. That's huge for us, man. And you know. Oh, by the way, the Barry Williams family running that not is to be not, played to be with. Play, not to be played with. I'm featured in that movie. We're running the exclusive trailer tonight. As always, I had a great time with y'all boys. A lot from Vietnam, a whole lot of and shit. And we out, baby.
Let me apologize for the guys first. We're a little drunk, Barry Williams. That's why we forgot the name of the movie. As you know, we post two of the questions every week, and people will comment. So I want to shout out Dante, DJ, Hitboy Valentine, Nicholas Manuel, Cedric Whitley, DJ Said, my dude from Myrtle Beach days, Cool Kev, Uncle Kenny commented, John Smith, my man OZ Chisholm, Deborah Morrissey. We got a comment from Ben Hustlin, Jamie Nicholson, my man Byron Brooks, Ike Paint-A-Lot, Calvin Guthrie, Tiffany Marie Ossett, Marcus Flowers, Mixmaster B-Side, Antoine Hill, Dan Lovely, Brian DJ Boone. Shout out to Mr. Jones. We forgot Mr. Jones. Sean Reeves, yeah, well. PJ. Shout out to PJ. Cool All Day, Mutate God, Norman E. Bradley, Peyton Lucas, James Cabby, TJ Williams, my homie LeVar, my first friend when I moved back from Panama, Greg G., Monty Johnson, Carlton Beasley, and last but not least, Trilla Noise Tracks.
Who Man, definitely Trilla Noise Tracks.
Who produced
dope,
the outro?
Dope intro.
Who produced the outro?
Dope.
So that's
shout out to the dude that put the starch in my... Yeah, shout out to the dude to put starch in my jock straps. Big up to you, bro.
Merry Christmas and Feliz Navidad. Live from Vietnam. We out. Peace.
Beats by Trill, straight killerville, dog, dog, dog.